Welcome to Catholic Sports View on Immaculate Heart Radio. A look at the athletes and coaches who shape the Trinity League. Exploring where athletics meets faith. Now, here is your host, Bob Gibson.
Thanks again for joining us right here on Catholic Sports View. This week, we're going to be out at Servite High School, and we're going to talk with the head wrestling coach. He's also the athletic director out there, Alan Clinton. And after that, we stick around at Servite because we want to focus on sports information. It's something that's gotten huge on the professional and college levels, and now it's really starting to make a name for itself on the high school level as well. And Carly Carlson is the sports information director, also out at Servite. After that, we go across town to Modern Day High School, and we'll look at their girls' soccer program. It's a strong one over there, and it's led by their head coach, Maddie West. But we kick things off talking with Alan Clinton at Servite High School, his great wrestling program, and as I mentioned, he also wears that second hat of athletic director. Welcome back to Catholic Sports View. We're out at Servite High School, and we're talking with the head wrestling coach, also the athletic director out here at Servite, and we'll talk about that in a little bit as well. But Alan Clinton joins us. Thanks for giving us a few minutes, Coach.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thanks for coming out and visiting with us.
Absolutely. You want to start off with the wrestling program, because I know it's near and dear to what you've done here at Servite for so many years. How did you first get involved with the sport of wrestling?
I wrestled in high school, mm-hmm. and then had the opportunity, went on to junior college, and then I got my education paid for. I was brought down and scholarship to Cal State University Fullerton. So it's been in the blood for quite some time.
What is it about wrestling that attracted you to the sport?
Probably the getting to knock people around a little bit. I'm from the Central Valley, so football and wrestling are the two sports there, and I did them both. So you kind of do is what they do, you know, where you live. So that was kind of what brought it on.
They always go hand in hand, don't they? Seems like football and wrestling.
Most definitely. They, like you said, they're hand in hand. And if you want to be successful at one, you try to usually do the other one. They kind of go hand in hand, work together very well.
Do good football players make the best wrestlers, or vice versa?
You know what? It really, that's kind of a hard thing to say, because some really good football players aren't real good wrestlers, and kids that want to be real good football players sometimes make real good wrestlers, because it brings out, you know, the self-confidence, works on their balance and agility and all that kind of stuff, so they end up going from number three on the ladder to number one on the ladder. And so, you know, and sometimes, you know, guys that are great football players make great wrestlers. You know, it's the throw of the dice, really, you know, give and take a little bit each way.
There's a handful of sports that are singular sports where you compete individually. You know, tennis, golf, of course, come to mind, and wrestling seems to be the biggest one. Is that part of the draw? Is the challenge of being the only person out there? You have to rely on yourself the entire time?
Yeah, I think that's exactly what it is. You know, there's nobody else to blame, and so, you know, what happens happens, and I think that's what really helps young men that want to be good football players, because they learn that, you know, if you want to get it done, you find a way to do it yourself, so you're not out there blaming the other 10 guys. And they actually end up being very good football players because they learn how to do stuff one-on-one. So it's a very nice gift to have, you know, where you can take on people and take responsibility for what happens.
Right. It also seems to be the sport that you need the most self-discipline in order to compete at the highest levels, or maybe even to compete at all.
most definitely. I mean, there isn't an area that's not touched in wrestling. You know, you got to know, you got your diet, you've got your rest, you got to keep your studies up, your mental training and your physical training. There's not many other sports where every package comes together. Probably the closest would be water polo, you know, where you would kind of have a link between the two, but wrestling's kind of a unique breed in itself, so I guess that's why they say we're a different breed. So, but yeah, it takes every aspect to actually be successful in the sport.
Alan Clinton, longtime wrestling coach out here at Servite, joining us this week on Catholic Sports View. At what point did you know that coaching might be something you wanted to try your hand in?
Well, it was kind of interesting, because when I went to college, I started off as a criminal justice major. Oh. and actually liked it. And then my coaches started coming to me and saying, you know, we really think you'd be good in this field, you know, type situation. So one of the counselors had a nice little tug on me and said, I think we're going to go this avenue. So, you know, you like to graduate, you know, and do things. So that's kind of where it went. And then I started getting involved in it and, you know, kind of on the side a little bit while I was still competing. And it actually has become my niche. So I think I'm very blessed, because due to the fact that, you know, a lot of people do a lot of things they don't like to do, I can honestly say that I got the opportunity to enjoy what I did my whole career. So right. It's kind of nice.
Did you know that Servite was going to be in your future, or is this where you start? Where did you get your coaching start?
I was at El Medina High School for 21 years. Yeah. I was the AD wrestling coach and football coach over there. I coached with Bob Lester in football. So I was there for 21 years, and then I'm now in my 11th year here at Servite, and we're actually in our 10th season of wrestling. So every day's a new day. You never know what's going to happen, but I've been very fortunate, very blessed to be able to do what I'm doing. So every place I've been has been a great opportunity for me. So just following the trail.
Was that the challenge, you know, to come here out of school like Servite, which obviously competes at the highest levels, and to put a program together here?
Yeah, it was, because they'd never had wrestling. You know, the school opened in 1958, and they'd never had the sport of wrestling. And the president, Pete Bowen, had for 2 years been trying to convince me to come over. Mm-hmm. And you know, at the time frame when I made the jump, it was the right time. You know how you have those times in life where you go, hey, you know, now would be a good time. So a big challenge, because you're starting from scratch again after having a dynasty over at El Medina. You know, now you're starting to scratch again, and you spend the first year. My wife sat in the stands and laughed at me because we were trying to make sure we got our singlets on the correct way, and you know, we knew how to tie our shoes. So that was quite different from going and winning CF titles. But it hasn't taken us long to get back on track again. So I've got a great group of young men, and they've got it rolling for me.
We know there's a handful of great programs here in Southern California. You know, the wrestling program, you know, Calvary Chapel, obviously, you know, comes to mind, that has had so many champions. Was there a blueprint, you know, in your El Medina teams, of course, but was there a blueprint in mind? Was there something you saw in other programs? Was it a mixture of everything that you wanted to kind of, you know, set down here?
Well, you know, you steal what's good and you throw away what's bad. That's always been my philosophy. So I had a very nice blueprint at Elmo, and I said, you know, I mean, public, private, it really doesn't matter. You know, if you're going to be successful, you're going to be successful wherever you go. So we kind of had the blueprint. But like I said, in my mind, the day that you stop trying to get better is the day you probably ought to retire. So, you know, like I said, we steal what's good, you know, look around, take what's bad and put it in the trash can, and just try to keep getting a little bit better, you know, every day. So that's kind of our motto around here.
Alan Clinton, Servite Wrestling Coach, joining us this week on Catholic Sports View. Was your first order of business here to talk to Coach Toner at the time, go to the football program and try to get some of those kids out for wrestling?
Actually, when I came in, Troy Thomas was the head coach.
Oh, someone Troy was here, okay.
Yeah. And Troy was a wrestler in high school, yeah. So he loved wrestling. So we hit it off right out of the chute, because he knew I was a football coach, and him being a defensive coordinator, I was a defensive coordinator. So we had a lot of the same things in common.
You guys speak the same language.
We spoke the same language, got along very well. And his big thing, he was excited to have wrestling, because in actuality, he started going to kids and saying, look, if you're second, third on the ladder, you need to go over and see Coach Clinton. And so, of course, you know, we had that nice bond, and it's just grown ever since from then. So it was a good situation. So a little combo of both, so, you know, as we go through.
What constitutes, you know, putting together a good wrestling program? I mean, obviously you need kids that can come in and grasp the concept of wrestling, but, you know, what else really goes into it?
Actually, you know, you got to have the whole package. You know, it always helps to have great kids, you know, but you also got to be able to teach. It's, you know, in the sport of wrestling, it's like teaching in the classroom. Most kids come in and never wrestled before. So if you're not a good educator, you know, or a good teacher, you're going to run into problems. And you've got to understand the sport, keeping up with the times, because it changes constantly, you know, between weight management, you know, what's good diet-wise. Weight training is huge, you know, aerobic training. So it's kind of like an art project. You got to keep up with what's in style and what's going on and what you need to do. So it's a combo of everything. That's one thing nice about it. You know, I mean, you can always run a dive, you know, a draw or a power or a sweep, but then wrestling, you know, there'll always be a takedown, there'll always be an escape, and there'll always be a ride, but you better know which ones are going to work and which ones aren't going to work.
Which kind of leads me right into my next question. You know, sports science, you know, so much has changed over the years. How we train, you know, what we put in our bodies, you know, how we lift weights, you know, those kind of things. You know, how much has that changed the sport at all?
It's changed it drastically, because, you know, weight training now has become almost mandatory for great programs, and it's something that you do year-round. You know, you just don't do it when you're in season. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, and you break it up, and we break it up into four seasons of what kind of training we're doing during any one of those four seasons, quarterly kind of, because if you're not in that game, you're putting yourself behind the eight ball a little bit. Same thing with the diet. You know, if you're not doing things the right way, eating the right way, and kind of taking care of the body, you kind of put yourself behind the eight ball. Everything's moderation. I think that's what people forget today. They become so individualized, they forget that, you know, moderation is the key of everything you do. You know, you need a little bit of that bad stuff every once in a while, you know, and you need days off. And so if you can come up with the right combo for 15, 16, 17-year-olds, you've done a good job.
Covering high school sports as I have for so long, you know, some sports can be transient. You play a sport sometimes, and you move on to the next. Wrestling really seems to have a community, you know, behind it. I mean, when people are committed to wrestling, I mean, they're committed to it. The families, the parents, everybody's committed to, you know, to wrestling. It really has to feel like a family. It seems like from the outside to me.
Oh, it's a huge family. It's kind of like, it is like a family. You got to think about it when you eat, sleep, sweat, you know, beat on each other. It's kind of hard not to become a family. It's actually like living at home. And the one thing I always tell everybody, you know, you get the, especially, you know, the parents there for the first time, especially the moms, you know, they're very nervous about it. Boy, they become the biggest fans right away. You get them into their first match, and you have somebody sit next to them, explain it to them. You have a fan for life, you know. And the sport of wrestling, as you know, is just keeps growing and growing and growing. You get stuck in a gym for 14 hours. You better become friends, or it's going to be an ugly weekend. So,
so true. You know, you just hit on it too. The sport continues to grow, and you know, we don't necessarily see that in some other sports. You know, some have plateaued, others, you know, kind of go through the ebb and flow of popularity. But wrestling seems to be growing and growing. Just go out to the Masters meet, which I know is coming up for you. Go out to the state championships. There's not an empty seat in the house.
No, matter of fact, the state championships will sell out.
Yeah.
And it's become so big, it's probably the number one moneymaker for the state of California nowadays. You know, it's $75 a pop. That's not bad, and it sells out. Yeah, it just keeps going. I think the reason a lot of times people don't notice this is because there's really no professional, you know, in it. So, you know, you go, you know, whether it's middle school to high school and then to college. But where you kind of have a line that's kind of bonding a little bit now, where you see it is of course, MMA. You know, because a lot of wrestlers going to MMA, and, of course, what's one of the largest growing spectator events is MMA fighting, which, if you look around, 80% of the guys that are doing it are ex-wrestlers. So I guess you could consider that our pro sport. But, you know, wrestling's just big, and it's like I said, it's a family. So once you're involved, and it just kind of keeps growing and growing. And it meets the needs of the smallest person to the largest person. There's a place for everybody in wrestling, where in a lot of sports that's not the case. You can be slow and still be a wrestler. You can be fast and be a wrestler, you know. So it has all the ingredients you need that can fit everybody's needs, in essence.
Served by wrestling coach Alan Clinton this week on Catholic Sports View here on Immaculate Heart Radio. We're going to take a pause here on Catholic Sports View, and when we come back, we will visit more with Alan Clinton. He wears a couple of hats here at Servine. We'll talk about some of those other hats that he wears out here with the Friars. Stay with us here on Immaculate Heart Radio. Catholic Sports View here on Immaculate Heart Radio. I'm Bob Gibson, and we're out of Servite High School. We're talking with Alan Clinton, the wrestling coach out here, and also the athletic director at Servite. How did you get to where you're wearing so many different hats out here at Servite? Was that part of the poll? Hey, come be a wrestling coach, and while you're here, you can be the athletic director as well?
Well, actually, you know, when I was at Elmer Dean, I started as, you know, like I said, I did football and wrestling, right. Then I became the girls' AD, and then I became the boys' AD, and then I became both the boys' and girls' AD. So in part of my transition, part of the deal was, we had to be able to start wrestling, and they were hiring me to also come over and definitely be the AD. So, you know, it's kind of been in the blood. I think I'm in year 32 now, you know, of all this kind of stuff. But, yeah, so we're wearing all the hats right now.
I know as you're sitting here in your office, you got papers spread out everywhere on your desk. There's not a dull moment, I would imagine, in the day of an athletic director, especially today. How much has changed over these 30 years in what you need to do day to day to keep this athletic program going?
It's changed quite a bit. You know, at one time you taught and then you became the AD in the afternoon. AD is pretty much a full-time job anymore. There's so many areas that you have to deal with, you know, from you know, CIF to, you know, the NFHS to what happens at your school, running the sports program, scheduling everything. It just keeps going. It used to be, you know, you scheduled a bus, you scheduled officials, and you called it a nice day. That isn't the case anymore, you know. It just keeps growing, just as anything else does. So, yeah, you're right. My desk does look like it's kind of busy, so we're set. So at least, I think that's job security. I'm okay there.
Then you had us media types in there getting in your hair all the time, and then you really got problems, right?
We love the media. It wasn't for media, man. We'd have no sports. sports, so we love the media. That's, we'll take them any time of the day, so they're awesome.
That is really one of the things that's changed, I think, over the years, is especially, you know, my 25 years doing this, you know, we come out and cover high school sports. Now there's so many more people and nationally that are coming out and covering high school sports. That's a good thing, right?
Well, I think it's a good thing. I think, you know, as long as everybody keeps everything in perspective, I mean, you know, you got ESPN, Fox, you know, the Big Ten Network. I mean, I love it because I'm a jock at heart here. I think it's great. I think the biggest thing that with it that we have to be careful of is that the kids don't take it out of perception as to what it is. I mean, it's advertising the sport. It's advertising young people. And as long as they use it positive, I think it's a great thing. It's when it goes negative that you kind of, you know, you kind of go, oh, sometimes that's social media is not so good, you know. So especially when you're dealing with 15, 16, and 17-year-olds, right. That mind is not always thinking on the same level. But I think overall it's great. I mean, I would – trust me, I'd rather watch a sporting event any day over anything else that comes on TV anymore. So I think it's a great positive.
This is also the deep end of the pool, right? The Trinity League, which is, you know, big time, a nationally recognized, you know, a conference, I almost want to call it, because, you know, it almost like is a collegiate conference, you know, in the way that it's treated here and the way everybody looks at it.
Oh, it's definitely, it's, I meet with a lot of my buddies that are in college, and they say you're more of a college than we are, because, like you say, everything you have, it's a different level, and people, until you're in it, don't realize what level it really is. But, I'd say we're just a small little college, but maybe a big little college, who knows?
Servite, modern day, you know, Jay Serra's, on the come. Santa Margarita is a big time program. St. John Bosco, we know everything that they've accomplished. When you sit around and you look at everybody, you know, in this league, I mean, is there a better one nationwide?
I don't think so. Yeah. You know, and I've been around quite a bit. I would say across the board, sports for sport, you know, young person for young person, you're going to have a hard time find anybody else that matches it to this level. You're going to find some great football programs or some great swimming programs, but where the league is as whole and as solid as this one is, it's going to be hard to find anybody that matches this.
Is there a little added pressure, too, that, you know, when you have an opening for a coach, you know, you got to find the right coach to come in? You've been lucky. You've had so many great coaches, you know, come through the doors here at Servite. That really is important because, you know, a program reaches a certain height, it's got to stay there, right?
There's pressure all the time. We call that livelihood. The one advantage you have is when a job does open, you definitely have a lot more applicants than you do at, you know, a public school job in most cases, unless, you know, like an Edison or a Los Alamitos. You know, you're going to get names and stuff, but you have to make sure that the person's the right fit for the school. And everybody has their own personality, Modern Day's personality and Santa Margarita's personality and JSEP. Everybody's got a different one. So you got to make sure that the person that you bring in, which is sometimes a little bit of a gamble, fits the personality of the school. It's very important here at Servite, you know, so I think that's one of the reasons we've been able to keep the success level up, because that's one of the first important points that we have is does the person fit into Servite? Because we're a little different than a lot of the other schools. Right. Being an all-boys Catholic school, formation, you know, the brotherhood thing, they've got to be able to adjust and adapt and understand that and be able to provide in those areas.
Yeah, you just mentioned it right there. This is a Catholic school, and I know that's at the forefront of the mission here, you know, at the school. So, right, anybody who comes through the doors, teacher, student, coach, you know, that's the first thing that they have to know when they come through the doors.
I mean, yes, and if they don't know, then they're going to be expected to, you know, spend the time to learn it just like anything else, any other job. So, you know, it's very, very important to the school, and it's very important to our provincial, which is who runs our school, you know. So there's a lot of pressure and standards that are expected from anybody coming in.
The chance to spread the Catholic faith to others as well as they come in, you know, that's a big part of it as well, is not only, you know, school-wide, but in your program as well.
Oh, most definitely. I mean, prayer is very important, you know, and with us having the formation here and the brotherhood, that's our message, you know. So, you know, we're trying to create these young men to be leaders in the future through the Catholic faith, and so every coach here has to understand that and be on board with it, and we have a great, what I call, formation and youth program here that actually jump in and help the sporting programs with us. So everybody works hand in hand, and I think we develop some very outstanding young men.
Alan Clinton with Servite High School, the wrestling coach, the athletic director, maybe bus driver if you need to be. Anything else they have you do?
I can mop floors, you name it, I can do it. I've got a lot of good talents here, so
the word says. They'll make you do a lot of things here if you volunteer for it, right? We were talking earlier before we started the interview, you just got off the phone with CIF. How important is it for you to have a good relationship with the Southern Section Office, which is the governing body here, and how important, the Southern Section Office has become to the entire sporting world here?
Oh, it's very important to have a good relationship, and a lot of, I would say 80% of the population probably don't have the relationship that they'd like to have just because we're so big in the Southern mm-hmm. Section. But it's very valuable. It's very valuable for us as a school, to make sure that we're on the forefront of everything that's going on. CIF itself has just grown. Yeah. You've got 500-plus schools in the whole Southern Section that range all over the place. I mean, some parts we're not even in the Southern Section, right. As far as I'm concerned. We're way up north. But, their jobs are just enormous in trying to make sure that you monitor all 24 sports and, make sure all the playoffs are going well. And I think they do an outstanding job for us. So, that is a tough job, and you don't get a lot of credit for it. They only pick on you when you do the wrong things. You don't get a lot of credit for when you do the right things. And 90% of the time they're doing the right things, but we only hear about the 10%. So, the relationship has to be good, and I think they're doing an outstanding job.
Obviously, it would be enough of a job for you as just being the wrestling coach, and but the athletic director side of it too. I would think it's fun because you get to participate in all the other sports as well, and have the relationship with all the other coaches as well. And when they succeed, you've succeeded as well.
Well, that's it. What their success, I look at is I think I've done a good job of hiring, and I have a great coaching staff here who I think does an outstanding job across the board with all the young men. And like you said, I'm not a very bright person, so that one brain cell, just thinks that you're supposed to work all the time. But I don't think I would change it. Like I said, I'm sure a lot of people would like to have the opportunity to do what I do. They might change their mind after 24 hours. But, being involved with young men in sports and coaches in sports, kind of hard to beat in my world.
No, I've been enough wrestling coaches. They like to play that card. The old Wiley, I don't know much. I'm just a wrestling guy. I know better.
We got to outsmart the best of them.
Wrestling's not just a physical sport. It's as much mental as anything, isn't it?
Yeah. Most, if you don't have strategy, you're in deep trouble. Right. Let me tell you. You got to have strategy. Well, we just use that dumb card because it works well for us. But usually we'll survive in the wilderness compared to anybody else.
You got that right. Alan Clinton, closing minutes here on Catholic Sports View this week out at Servite High School. When you look around and you see, you mentioned how big the Southern Section has gotten, the Trinity League has gotten, to the point where it's at now. Can this thing get much bigger? Is there room for more? We won't address the issue of more schools coming into the Trinity League. That'll take care of itself here in the coming weeks. But is there room for this thing to even grow even bigger?
I would say that things constantly grow, or constantly change is probably the better word, but just with the way society, social media, everything that's put on, it's going to be always changing, and hopefully it's always changing for the better. But can it get bigger? I think it is bigger. Every day it's bigger, as what it holds, and the Trinity plays an important part in the whole Southern Section, being that most of the time there's Trinity League schools involved in every time there's a playoff. So it's always bigger. It's always important. And when you are the Trinity League, you kind of got to lead by example because the spotlight's on you all the time, or the magnifying glass, whichever one you want to look at. But, so you're kind of under that role where it is a big deal. And sometimes maybe we make it a little bit bigger than what it should be. But we got to make sure we cross our T's, dot our I's, and do everything the right way.
Part of that, too, is having a good, sports information department. In our next segment on this show, we're going to talk with Carly Carlson, your sports information director here. I imagine she's your right-hand person here a lot of the time.
One of the best hires ever. She is a gem, let me tell you. Rarely you want to talk about somebody that works as long as I do, it's her. She does a great job, and fortunately I have her, because if you relied on me to do all the social media stuff, we'd be in deep trouble. We'd be in caveman times. So she is just absolutely awesome. You're going to have a great interview with her. She's just, you're not going to get a better one, but do not let anybody know that, because I can't afford to lose her.
Well, we've enjoyed this time talking with you, Coach. We appreciate it. Good luck to you. I know that the Masters is coming up. State finals are around the corner, and that's not all. Everybody's got a lot more going on, so we appreciate you carving out a couple minutes for us.
Oh, my pleasure. Anytime. Love having you.
That's Alan Clinton. He's the wrestling coach and athletic director out here at Servite High School. And when we come back, as we just mentioned, Carly Carlson, the Sports Information Director here at Servite, we're going to have a couple of minutes with her. Stay with us right here on Catholic Sports View on Immaculate Heart Radio.
Need an idea for summer vacation? Why not join Bishop Kevin Vann and Bishop Tim Fryer for a first-of-its-kind Catholic cruise from Long Beach to Ensenada, Mexico? You'll be entertained by acclaimed musician Francis Cabildo, music ministry director at Santa Margarita High School, and director of Christ Cathedral Music Ministries, Dr. John Romeri. You'll also have the blessed opportunity to celebrate Mass at the Cathedral in Ensenada. It's all happening July 21st to the 24th. For info, call Travel of Orange, 877-538-0010, occatholic.com/travel.
Welcome back to Catholic Sports View here on Immaculate Heart Radio. And we continue our visit out at Servite High School, and we're focusing on the Sports Information Department. And Carly Carlson heads things up out here at Servite. Hey, thanks for taking a couple of minutes.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. I wanted to talk about it because it seems like in high school sports, we see so much, of course, in professional and college sports, but it's really trickled down to high school sports where you need to have a good sports information department, and really important here in the Trinity League, isn't it?
No, definitely. The Trinity League, it's so competitive and so different compared to some other sports leagues around, and we really think it's important to prepare our athletes in all avenues. So obviously they're getting prepared in the classroom by their teachers, or spiritually by our priest here, and then obviously for the coaches athletically, but I come in to kind of help with the sports information side, like you said. So we want to talk about social media and their presence online and things of that nature. So that's why we're really here to help them.
How'd you get involved with the media and sports information? Was this something you set out to do?
I actually didn't know what I wanted to do. I studied communications in college, and then I went back and got my master's and found this sports information program at Long Beach State and kind of fell in love with it. So during that time, I interned with UCR in their athletic department, specifically in sports information, and kind of first really learned about all that it entailed and fell in love with it. So from there, I learned a lot about writing and social media, and that kind of got me here and into this position.
How much did that help having your I guess, get your feet wet, so to speak, in a college atmosphere like that?
It helped a lot. It definitely kind of helped me as I set up this position and have really decided how I'm going to take it and work with the athletes, because most of them are headed to play college sports. So we're kind of prepping them just as they would be in the classroom for their sports as well. So preparing them for interviews or photo shoots or things of that nature. So it's really modeled off of what a college SID would do.
Yeah, this is really, you know, as I mentioned, it's really unique to high school sports. I mean, in the 25 years I've been doing this, I've only run into a handful of high schools that have, you know, a dedicated, you know, department to this. So, you know, really you're kind of making the rules or making the script as you go, right?
Yeah, it's pretty nice. Like you said, there's not a lot out there to go off of. So as I've been here, this is my fifth year now at Servite, we've kind of changed the position to really help our students as we see fit. So we've brought in different people to focus on different things to teach them. So a couple years ago, we had a USC professor come and talk to them about their social media presence. And he spoke to them about the recruiting process and how they can make sure that they're putting their best foot forward, and how once they get to the college campuses, how they're being looked at by not only their coaches, but fans of the program, their families, other recruiters. So we want to make sure that they're really set up for that. And so that's what we've kind of done here.
How much of it is sports information, you know, press releases, those kind of things, and how much of it is marketing? Because, you know, you are marketing a school here to prospective families who want to come be a part of the Servite community.
No, definitely. Sports information, I think, is more communications focused. So we're sharing what's going on, whether it's a kid that got an award or the team won a league championship. But it's also, as a private school, we want to make sure that everyone's aware of all the great things we're doing here. So if we're putting out great information and people are seeing that, and that might help them want to come here, then that's an added benefit as well.
Carly Carlson joining us, Sports Information Director here at Servite High School. This is not just a 9-to-5 job, right? I mean, this you feel like you're always on call. I imagine you are.
It's definitely not a 9-to-5 job at all. I work here in a normal day, a 9-to-5 in the office, working on our website and doing graphics and photo shoots and different things of that nature. But then, as you know, most events are right. 5 o'clock, 7 o'clock on the weekend, doubleheader for baseball. So it's definitely not a 9-to-5, but I love it because it's different every day. I get to be in the office. I get to be out at the baseball field or at the football field. I get to work with so many different people, from all of our coaches on campus to the student athletes, to their families, to local media. And so it really gives me a great idea of the kids that we have on campus and what's going on in the community.
As I mentioned, inside the Trinity League, I think every school in the Trinity has a person like you in their office now. Do you get a chance to interact with the other SIDs and maybe talk about things or compare notes or find out what's working, maybe what isn't working, those kind of things?
I think that most of the other Trinity schools have someone that does my mm-hmm. function, maybe not necessarily with the same title as me. I've gotten to know some of them over the years, and some of them have definitely developed more over the years as I've been here. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of the teams, they run their own social media sites. So like a baseball coach might run the baseball Twitter where the athletic director runs the general one. Mm-hmm. So we structure things a little different here is that I do everything. We want to keep it consistent and we're having the same message go out. So I'm tweeting about football and baseball and basketball. Right. Whereas some of the other schools, I think, do it differently, which since we're an all-boys school and only have 13 teams, it's a lot easier for me to get out where some of the schools that are co-ed have double that. So I can only imagine that would work a lot better than what we have set up here, but it works obviously well for us. So, I've talked to a lot of the other athletic directors mostly about kind of how they're moving forward with sports communication to make sure that we're keeping up with all the trends and really giving the best service to our student athletes because they are playing at such a high level.
Is it literally a thing that changes, day to day? I mean, Twitter, Facebook, obviously, Instagram came along and became the big thing. You have to keep on top of every trend, as you just mentioned, of what's going on in the world of communications.
No, definitely. When I first started, we were really focused on our website and we wanted to make sure that we were driving information there with game recaps or mm-hmm. player profiles. And now it's a lot more social media based. You go on Twitter and you can find the score of a game in a matter of seconds. And so we're really focused on that. And I've seen that across all the Trinity League. We're waiting for the result of a game because we want to know if we clinch the league title. And that is going to be determined how another game went. So we're refreshing Twitter on their soccer page to find out what's going on. And so you really have to stay up with it and make sure you're current. And there's so many different cool social media out there now. Just last week, our soccer game went to penalty kicks. And so I went live on Facebook and we had video of all of our followers to be able to watch our game and as it finishes with PKs. And so it's pretty cool that we're able to do so many different things. And so it's a 3:15 game. So maybe parents that aren't off work yet, they're able to watch their son make the game saving penalty kick online. And so it's pretty cool. And they're continually coming out with different stuff. So it's fun for me to learn how to do these different things. And the kids, too, they'll be, hey, have you seen this? Like, can we try this? Of course. Like, let's see what it does and how we can use it here.
Carly Carlson, the Sports Information Director at Servite, joining us this week on Catholic Sports View. Neighborhood schools, public schools, they just have that sphere of their neighborhood. But schools within the Trinity League, and this is a nationwide deal going on. I mean, you're dealing with press, I would imagine, from all over the country at times.
No, definitely. We were lucky enough to have a following across the nation, like you said. So we've had ESPN on campus mm-hmm. to do a college signing for one of our athletes that went to Notre Dame 2 years ago. And we've had different companies come out to cover different games. And so it's been fun for me to work with people from all over the nation. We've also had some great outreach programs work with our athletes that we've been able to do like special events for them on our football games or things of that nature that our kids have been able to volunteer with. So that kind of gives the other side of sports to them giving back. That we've been able to work with as well.
How much do you work with the students here, with the boys on their own personal? Everybody wants to have their own social media presence, but it is, as we all know, there can be pitfalls to that as well, especially when you're dealing with teenagers. How much of it is you working with the kids here and teaching them how to properly use their social media presence?
No, definitely, it's something that everyone wants to have a lot of followers on mm-hmm. social media, and especially now, even on Twitter, they're verifying kids that have like 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 wow. followers. So just this year, our quarterback who left early to go to college, play at Colorado, was verified on Twitter. So these guys are quote unquote national names.
Right.
So we've set up programs in the past to kind of go over just some tips on things you should do and should not do. And again, it's just for their own benefit. We want them representing us well, obviously, but they're representing themselves and their families. So most of them are pretty good. We haven't had any issues. They know what to do and what not to do, thankfully. But it's definitely something that we have to be aware of and that they need to be aware of, especially as they're trying to get college scholarships. And we we're trying to set them up for success, and we don't want anything, especially something like social media, to hurt that.
How much has the school been open to, you know, bringing social media in and bringing in all the information that, you know, that's going out?
I think the school has been great. Obviously, with the creation of this position, they realize that there's a need for it and have been on board with supporting that. We have our athletic social media sites, and then we have our general social media sites that kind of serve two different purposes. You learn more about our academics and things of that nature on the general, and then on our sports feeds, you can learn everything from who got athlete of the week to what the score of the baseball game was on Thursday. So it's definitely something that I think the school is aware that needs to be had, and they're very supportive in it, and the families are something that have really gotten on board with it as well, and they're excited that they can go find out that type of information on social media for when they're on trips traveling or out of town or at work, like I said. So I think it's just a really great resource for everyone.
Right. I was just going to ask, who's your audience? I mean, is it the families? Is it, obviously it's the families and all that, but it goes, the scope goes beyond that, I would imagine too. Maybe surprising who sometimes will follow you or have interest in what's going on here at Servites, I would imagine sometimes.
Yeah, no, definitely. A lot of parents I talk to on campus that thank us for having that information available. So I know they're definitely using it. I know a lot of alumni that live out of town utilize it. Even some kids that are now off at college. We have a baseball player who's going to the University of Oregon. He's committed. And we have a player that just graduated from Oregon who plays baseball as well. So when I posted about him, he commented on it saying like that he's so excited that another brother is going to Oregon and following in his footsteps. So it's cool to see that they've stayed connected through social media and are able to still see what's going on here and continue the relationships with the guys that are younger than them and going up. So definitely, I think alumni, the local community, like we said, since we're part of the Trinity League, we have a lot of interest just because of that. So people are able to view us that way. And then families and the other players and even their teammates can say, oh, yeah, I saw you guys won your game yesterday. Congratulations. So right. I think we've set it up so that people know that they can find the information there and they're going to use it.
Well, Carly, we want to thank you for visiting with us and explaining the world of sports information at Hurt Servite. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Thanks for coming out.
That's Carly Carlson out here at Servite High School, Sports Information Director.
Hello, this is Jim Hooper, 2016 nominee for St. Joseph Radio Man of the Year. I'm excited to let you know that the 2017 Man of the Year dinner is coming up on March 18th. The deadline for submission is March 1st, and it's an encouragement to all Catholic men and Catholics in general to get active and get involved. For more information, call Sheila at 714-402-6347 or go to the website
OCCatholicMan.org. That's OCCatholicMan.org.
Thanks, and we hope to see you at the dinner.
We're out at Modern Day High School, and we're talking with the girls' soccer coach here, and that's Maddie West. Coach, thanks for joining us.
Hey, it's wonderful to be here. Thank you.
Appreciate it. Let's start off with a little bit of your background. I'd like to ask coaches about how they got involved in the sport that they coach. What are your earliest memories of getting involved with the game of soccer and maybe how the game, you know, kind of really got into your DNA?
You know, my first memory was my parents wanted something to do and an activity and a sport, and soccer worked best for their schedule. And so I started playing when I was four, and immediately fell in love with it, and haven't stopped playing since.
When did you know that this is something you're pretty good at?
You know what, it was just really in my veins, and I just loved it, and I always had a ball at my feet, and I just constantly wanted to learn more, practice, and it was just so much fun.
Were there other sports you were involved in, or was it mostly just soccer from day one?
You know, I grew up playing all sports, and loved being active. And that hasn't changed, but soccer definitely revealed itself as being my number one.
Give us a little bit of background in your playing career and what you were able to accomplish, you know, kind of as you moved up through the ranks.
I got a chance to play at Woodbridge High School, and I played on varsity for 4 years. Had a stint and played a season at Irvine Valley College, and transferred and played at UC Santa Barbara. And then I got a chance to play after that, and I traveled around. I started playing indoor for the Anaheim Splash, went down to San Diego with the San Diego Soccers, and I finished my career in Utah playing for a team called the Utah Blitz.
Did you ever think in your wildest dreams you'd at some point in your life play professional soccer?
That was always a dream, and that was something that was on my heart, and it was a goal that I chased and I wanted, and it was a really fun part of my life.
At what point did you think, hey, coaching, or did you think a different direction? Your college studies, were they taking you in a different direction, or was coaching something always in the back of your mind?
You know, my mom planted a seed when I was young, And she always envisioned me teaching and coaching. And as much as I tried to fight it, it was my destiny. And you know, I thank her for guiding me into this direction. And so while I was playing, I got into coaching club, and then a high school opportunity opened up, and here we are today.
How important has coaching, you know, become to you?
You know, coaching and teaching is something I really appreciate, and being able to impact and be involved in people's lives is something I treasure. And so if there's something I can do to help somebody else, I'm committed to do it.
Modern-day girls soccer coach Maddie West joining us this week on Catholic Sports View. You know, I imagine like most coaches, the coaches you had in your career obviously helped shape maybe the kind of coach, you know, you've become, I would imagine.
Yeah, absolutely. I think back, and I was real fortunate to play for and play with some amazing people. I'd probably say the most influential coach was my mom, though.
Really?
And she set an example of leadership and guidance and support and tough love. And I've taken a lot of those lessons apart from my other coaches and my other experiences.
Was she a soccer player? Were your parents athletes?
No, my parents weren't athletes, but they certainly supported me. And they were athletes through me.
Which is always fun, too, right? Be able to see your son go off and live his dreams. As you take a look now at coaching, was it everything you thought it would be when you first wanted to get into it?
You know, I would say my view of coaching has really evolved. And what started as trying to help people become better soccer players, I can really see helping people be the best versions of themselves. And so I use soccer as an opportunity to invest some of the lessons that I've learned through some of my experiences. You know, hopefully it helps them in their journey.
It's really part of the vision at Modern Day, isn't it? To not only athletically, we know what this school is all about and the kind of athletes that come through the doors here at Modern Day, but there's just more to it in the mission statement here at Modern Day.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's something I definitely embrace, and it's something that definitely drives me.
The religious aspect of, you know, it's obviously a Catholic school, as we know. You know, we cover the Trinity League here on the show. We know the majority of the schools here are Catholic schools, like here at Modern Day. You know, how much is that ingrained into your teachings and how you interact with your players on a daily basis?
Oh, it plays a big part. And what we want to do through soccer is we want to honor God, and we want to play in a way that exemplifies sportsmanship, hard work, teamwork. And we want to do things for him.
Maddie West joining us here on Catholic Sports View. We spent a few moments out at Modern Day High School. The Trinity League, it's not for the faint of heart for any of the sports. It's one of the best leagues, as we know, in the nation. When you look at your schedule, you know, every year, your toughest games are probably going to involve teams in your fellow Trinity League. Do you find that to be true?
Yeah. I mean, I've got so much respect for the other coaches in the Trinity League, for the programs that they've created. Game in and game out, it's ultra competitive, and we know we've got to be at our best, and if we're not, we're certainly going to pay the price.
Why has this program been so successful here? You've gotten obviously good athletes, that's number one, but is there something extra special about you know, modern-day girls soccer that's kept it at the top of the map for so long?
You know, we've been real fortunate to have some exceptional players come through, and more than that, I've been really impressed with the girls and how much pride they take in representing modern-day girls soccer. And then taking a step further, the friendships that the girls create is just a really powerful bond, and it's so much deeper than the game. And so I really see the girls respond to adversity and challenges and obstacles, and together we've had some pretty good runs.
Are there big differences in the game, the boys' game in the girls' game, or is for the most part soccer?
There are differences, and the boys' side, it's faster, it's quicker, they're stronger, and I've seen our girls really technical and strategy. Yeah, the teamwork is something that stands out for me with the girls as well.
Yeah, that's obviously a huge part of it. You know, teamwork, no championship comes without an entire team, you know, pulling on the rope in the same direction. I imagine, you know, leadership is something you stress to your girls. Do you teach leadership, or do you find it something that some girls just sort of come with maybe or are better at than others?
Leadership is something that I believe is learned. And we started doing Transformational Tuesdays, and it's a chance that we can get together and we can grow together, and we get to see different girls' strengths, and then we get to see how we can use their strengths to help the team. And something that's been really neat is to see the girls be vulnerable with each other and share some areas that they're not as good at or that they feel uncomfortable with. And when we break down some of those barriers, it's been amazing to see different leadership in different girls and what impact it has.
Do you find the girls that come into the program will rise to the occasion because it's modern day, because you wear that, that red crimson jersey, that will help girls maybe even get more out of themselves than they thought they had?
That's one of our, that's what we try and do. We like to see where girls are when they get here, and then we like to see what they're capable of. And we want to just help push them towards just maximizing their potential.
How much of it, too, is, I don't want to use the term peer pressure, but you want to live up to your peer group. Not only is that true, I think, on the playing field, I imagine, too, as a coach, you're sitting here in the same office as some of the other great coaches in Orange County, no matter the sport. So many of the great coaches reside right here and right outside this office that we're in. I imagine you want to live up to what else is going on at Modern Day as well.
The coaching staff here at Modern Day is second to none. And I've got a bunch of great mentors, and I've got a bunch of great friends. And their guidance and support has really helped me grow as a coach. And what I'd say for our program and our girls is we've got standards, and we've got high standards. And when the girls hold each other to those standards, it really gets the best out of each other. And, they're really, the sky's the limit on what we can achieve.
Found a few moments here with Maddie West out here at Modern Day High School, girls soccer coach. When you win another championship, and this team is no stranger to winning league titles and CIF championships, each one is special, and you never get used to winning, and you can never take it for granted. But I imagine there's that excitement in every season that this is a team that's always capable of doing that.
You're catching me at a time when we're in the playoffs right now, and we're just coming off our first round victory. We beat Cyprus 3-0 yesterday. And it was a lot of fun. And the girls have been working so hard. We've been growing, we've been improving, and we're trying to accept the challenge this season. And so this has been a really fun group, and we can't wait for the next one.
You've had other groups that just steamrolled the opposition. That's not true of this team maybe this year. How much of it is sometimes, is it a learning curve or bringing in younger girls who have matured through the year and you obviously want to be playing your best soccer at the end of the season like this?
One of the things that I take a lot of pride in is it's not where we start, but it's the direction we're going and where we finish. And, this year's team especially has shown so much improvement and growth. And that really, I'm so proud of the girls for not accepting status quo and really seeing how far we can push the envelope to see how good we can get.
Is the season measured at the end by the wins and losses, by the championship, or are there other things, obviously, I would think, that would tell you if you had a successful season?
The friendships, the growth, the overcoming obstacles and the challenges, those are the things that really bring us closer together. And one of the things I've been echoing in my head is that wins and success don't make friendships and teamwork, but friendships and teamwork will give you a better chance for wins and success. And so I know this year's group, off the field, they are so tight. They're such a great unit, and they love each other so much that it's preparing us for some big challenges coming up.
It's probably a question you've gotten a lot of times before. It's almost the standard question for any soccer coach. But, the game of soccer is a worldwide, phenomenon. We know it's not maybe quite as popular in the United States as it is in other parts of the world. But are you happy with the growth of soccer here in Southern California, in Orange County?
I couldn't be more impressed with Southern California soccer, girls soccer, the girls in our program. And the game has grown so much. The girls now have role models to look up to strive, to become, and the level of play has just improved tremendously.
Coach, we want to thank you for taking some time here for us on Catholic Sports View. We want to wish you the best of luck through this playoff run and in the coming seasons as well. We know modern-day girls soccer is always right at the top. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks so much, Bobby. Enjoyed it.
I want to thank all my guests this week right here on Catholic Sports View. And if you want to re-listen to this show or any of the shows we've done here on Catholic Sports View, make sure to log on to OCCatholic.com/radio. All of our shows are listed right there, and you can listen to any of them by just clicking on the link. Thanks again for joining us, and we'll see you next week right here on Catholic Sports View on Immaculate Heart Radio.